Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, I have one verse of our text. Galatians chapter 6, a very familiar passage, but I've chosen verse 7. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There is a law of nature which God has instituted, and it is the principle of which we are all familiar. It is what we call the law of sowing and reaping. This law is evident throughout the creation. It is also understood in the spirit realm, and it is expressed in the scriptures. The funny thing about laws is that we have a tendency to ignore them or to take them for granted. Which of us think about gravity? We might be reminded of it when we fall down or when an apple falls from the tree. Further, since it is a law, then it will occur whether or not we think about it. Now, sometimes we think we can overcome God's laws, and in a sense, we can. For instance, we can defy gravity and fly in a jumbo jet with 250 people on board. You say, we conquered the law. No, not really. And if you don't agree with that, then just jump out of the plane without a parachute and you'll see. Or wait until the engine gives out and consider which way the plane goes. Will it go up or down? Well, although for a time the effect may be delayed, gravity still exists even in the airplane. Learn the lesson well. You cannot defy God's laws and not pay the consequences. And you are not unique to the human race where the laws do not apply to you. It's a law of God. I'm not so much concerned about airplanes or falling apples. I am concerned about our responses to God's spiritual laws. And so we want to look into our passage today. I've entitled the message, "The Law of Sowing and Reaping." I think it's very evident in the reading of the text, but we'll discuss this subject today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. And we ask that you would just set apart any thoughts and cares of the world, anything that would distract, that we might focus upon you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, Lord, we pray that you bless your word as it goes out today. Just speak to our hearts by it and move in your spirit with your spirit. And especially for those that are lost, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. We just desire to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you're God and there is none other. We thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. Let us not take this for granted either, because we know this freedom can be taken from us. But Lord, we desire to worship you today, and we pray that your will be done. So we commit these things to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to think about the law of sowing and reaping here this morning out of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. But due to the intertwining of the passage, if I may say it in that sense, it is necessary for me to employ repetition. Therefore, I do have distinct points in the construction of my message, but I also will have to make mention of the other portions as well. Thus, it might appear that I am repeating, but it's just going to be necessary as we look at this one text and the points that we find therein. The first thing I want to point to your attention is that word whatsoever. Verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Three things I want to bring to your attention about this. Number one, notice the kind of seed. It is whatsoever. It doesn't say specifically what kind of seed it is. It's just whatsoever. So I'm just going to offer you just a few suggestions, if I may. The spiritual things. What kind of spiritual applications do you apply the truths of God's Word to your heart and to your life? Do you sow to the things of God? That's spiritual seed. And so we can sow to those kind of things. Or we can do the opposite of that and sow to sin. And so we can increase in our life and follow after things that are not right. We can sow the seeds of iniquity. Or what about self? Just what if I live myself for my life? And it's just, well, what I think, what I want to do, who cares what God thinks? Then I can sow to that, can't I? And if I sow to that kind of thing, I can expect a harvest. Or what about my service for the Lord Jesus Christ and what I do in my life? How do I live my life? I can sow it to God or not sow it to God. All these things are involved in what I do and who I am. And it's the type of seed that we have, the kind of seed. And I guarantee you, my friend, we have all sorts of seeds of which we're dealing with in our lives today. Now, it says whatsoever. Whatsoever. But I also would submit unto you, secondly, the matter of the quantity of seed. We are certainly familiar with the matter of sowing and reaping in our society. And if you're a farmer, if you're going to, or else you just have a garden, or you want to plant some flowers, just we all understand about the quantity of the seed. And really, seed may be given out in a minimal quantity, or in a medium capacity, or in a maximum quantity. You can also do it in a mixture of ways. So if we were going to pile up this field out beside the church here and plant corn, and we can do the whole thing in a lot of corn, right? And put down a lot of seed. Or we can break it up and do half corn and half beans. Or we can break it up even a little bit further and do a little bit less of each of the seed, and we could do corn and beans and wheat. Something like that. And so what it is in our life, whatsoever we sow, whatever kind of seed that it might be, as we find here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, is that, well, perhaps in some areas I might be sowing more seed in spiritual capacity and maybe a medium amount of seed to myself and maybe a little bit of seed to sin. But there, what we'll do is we'll sow all kinds of seed, and the quantity will vary depending on what we want to cast about. And so we recognize whatsoever. And the text doesn't address itself to the quantity, but just the fact that there is the seed. And so we have all sorts of seeds and all different types of quantities. But the third thing that certainly emanates from this, when it whatsoever, is the if we're going to have seed and the quantity of seed, is the casting of the seed. Really, it's just the very principle of having seed and that it's going to reproduce carries with it the idea that it must be cast. If the seed is cast, then you can expect a result to come. And it may be what you want, maybe not what you want, but you're going to put out the seed. Now, we recognize then, we look into the passage, it's very general in its application, isn't it? And so today, as the Spirit of God moves in your heart, He may speak to you on a spiritual capacity, and He might be talking to you about a certain kind of things, and He might, in that spiritual capacity, also include, hey, what about the sin in your life, or what about the fact that you're doing so many things about for yourself and not in reflection of God? I mean, there are all sorts of capacities in your life. You have all these seeds, good and bad. Well, the second word that I find in the text, not just that word sowing, but it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth. There's the second word, soweth, there's a sowing that goes on. I submit unto you that if we have seed and we talk about sowing, sowing by its very nature demands an activity. However, when you really think about it in the context of which we're making this application, you can also sow to inactivity. In other words, if you're a farmer and you want to sow the fields out beside your house, then you're going to have to be active. You got to get out, you got to plow the field, you got to put down the seed. You have to be very active in that presentation of the seed. However, you can also say, I'm not going to go. I'm tired of working in the fields. I'm just going to sit here in the old lounge chair and I'm going to be inactive. I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to sow the seed. Well, in that capacity, then, you're actually actively sowing to not sowing. Does that make sense? And so you're being active and being inactive. Will you reap the consequence of not sowing? Absolutely. And the Bible talks about that the people that are afraid of the cold, they won't reap in the harvest and all that. Well, if you're scared of the wind, you're not going to sow, you're not going to have a harvest at the end. And so really, by nature, though, there's an activity going on. And even inactivity is that activity. And so, by nature, sowing demands this activity. Secondly, I submit unto you, there must be a concern about the item sown. Do you care what you sow? You should care what you sow. Now, we already mentioned that there's a variety of seeds out there. And, you're just going to have to search your own heart and let the Holy Spirit move in your spirit as you respond to God's message today about the kind of items that you're sowing in your life or the things that you ought to be sowing and you're not. You're going to have to let God work in that, but you ought to be concerned about the item sown. Does it make a difference of the type of seed? Sure it does. Years ago, when after we first came here, I thought, I've never really had any ground or anything. I had some area back here, and I thought, I'm going to plant me a little garden. So I tilled up this little garden in the back, and I can't remember. It wasn't that big, maybe 10 feet by 6 feet or something like that. But I went to Home Depot and bought me a little bag of seed. I'm going to plant some corn. And I got out there, and I planted that corn, and I worked that, and I tried to weed it, and I got a little less as time went on. I didn't do very good with the weeding. But anyway, I watched that corn grow up, and I was so excited to see the little sprig, and it was growing up. And it only got about this tall, though, and I couldn't figure it out. I thought, what is wrong with this corn? Am I just that bad of a farmer? I know there's a little bit of weed in the area, but it should be much bigger than that. I started looking at that; those little ears of corn were about that big. You know what it was? I bought the seed for those little kind of ears of corn that you can get on the salad bar at the salad places. You know, I mean, they're full ears, but they're little mini. It was miniature corn. I done grabbed the wrong seed. I was expecting 6 foot high stalks of corn and big ears of corn. I thought, well, I can't wait to get this corn. And they were little dinky things. And the rabbits got them all. And I only tried farming once after that, and I didn't do very good at that either. But the point of the matter is you have to have the right seed. If you sow the wrong seed, you're going to get the wrong product, aren't you? You're sowing all types of seed. I'm sowing all types of seed. So you have to reflect on that. What kind of seed am I sowing? So you have to be concerned about the type of seed. Thirdly, I want to submit unto you that it matters not the quantity. Well, it does, depending if you want a whole field or a part of the field. But in this matter of sowing, it doesn't matter how much you sow. But the fact is, every time you sow, any time the seed is cast, there's going to be a sowing. So if you plant this whole side of this field out here in corn, and then you throw out two seeds of wheat, you could have those two seeds of wheat even though it's encompassed by the corn. Do you know why? Because seed, when it is sown, will produce fruit. And so you have to keep in mind this matter of sowing. It may not be very much, but I have to bear in my heart that every time I sow that seed, even though it's a little bit, it can come back. It can grow. It can produce. And so we find this law about sowing. Of course, I do recognize and permit me to say that, and we all know this principle to be true, that the more seed you sow, the greater the yield. I mean, that's just a definite fact. I mean, even my little miniature ears of corn that I got, I only planted so much of it. I didn't get 5 acres because I didn't plant 5 acres. But, of course, the more you sow, the greater the yield. This is just some principle of sowing. And turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And let me enter into my fourth point under the issue of sowing. Not only should we be concerned about the seed, recognizing, well, that seed's going to produce something. But we also should have concern for the ground in which we are sowing. And I planted a garden a couple years ago in my house, and it didn't do very good either. The ground wasn't very good, and I didn't know how to fix it and make it nice and all that. But it just wasn't that great of ground. What we want is the seed to be appropriate for the soil, don't we? And or the soil to be appropriate for the seed, either way you want to explain it. You have to be concerned about the ground. Now, back in Matthew chapter 13, where I've invited you to turn, Jesus offers a parable of the sower. And just notice what he says in verse 3 through verse 9. You can glean the principle of it. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, this is 13:3, book of Matthew. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell onto good ground and brought forth some fruit. Brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You ought to have a concern for the ground, my friend. Recognize where you're throwing that seed. Did you ever stop to consider that bad seed will flourish in good ground? But good seed will be diminished in bad ground. So you want to try to put the good seed on good ground, and you want to take away the bad seed, because a bad seed will grow anywhere, especially in the good ground. But we see in the text this issue of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever you sow. Let me also mention unto you that in sowing there's just a natural reproductive activity. I mean, that's what you do. You take the seed out and you plant a kernel of corn, you're going to get a corn stalk. But it's also an intentional reproductive activity. You take the corn because you want to grow corn. You take an apple seed because you want to grow apples. And you're not going to take an apple seed and expect to get oranges. It's just not going to happen. But we also recognize in the matter of this reproduction of the plants of which God has intended, and that's the law of sowing and reaping, is that there's also an incidental reproductive activity. And by that I mean the influence or the example of another. For illustration, you need the bees in order to make things work oftentimes. You need the pollen and the wind and the water. These are incidentals, but the seed itself will produce what it is if it falls on the ground and the things end up being correctly applied. But the incidentals must be there. And why that applies is we are sowing seed, but we can be influenced or impacted by other people. That's why Paul warns evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you know why? Because those people that you hang around with that have the wrong worldview, the wrong concepts, they will influence you. They will incidentally help you cast wrong seed and produce wrong seed. That's just the way it works. And so there's a lesson there, I believe, in this matter of sowing and reaping. Look back into the verse. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so this law of sowing and reaping has a consequence. And the third word that I want to mention unto you, and this is the last word, and it's that word reaping. Reaping. Expect a harvest. And so what do we learn from this? First of all, by its very nature, reaping demands a sowing. And if there's a sowing, there's going to be a growth. I talked about the farmer earlier that says, "Oh, I'm tired of going to the field. I'm going to sit back in the easy chair and watch TV all day long. I'm not going to get the seed out of the barn. I'm not going to plant in the fields. There's not going to be any sowing." Is he going to reap anything? Well, not that he normally reaps. He's going to reap the weeds and the other things that will produce on its own, and other things that may have fallen perhaps from the prior harvest. But as far as an actual harvest, he's not going to get anything. Why? Because he didn't get out there and do anything. If you want to reap a harvest, you have to sow, don't you? And it's just like you young people that are looking forward, you want to do some things in your life. Well, most likely you're going to have an education. That doesn't mean you have to have a college degree. That doesn't mean you have to go on to a master's or a PhD or anything like that. There are a lot of ways to learn things, but if you don't know, you need to learn. But if you never put an interest into learning it, you'll never know it. It won't grow. You have to have some type of input. When we talk about reaping, it demands that there's somebody has sowed something. And therefore, there's going to be growth and there's going to be a product of that, a result of that. And so he says that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It will come back in. I think we have the phrase, the ship comes back to port. It will, won't it? It will. Now let me offer secondly in this matter of reaping, that reaping is indiscriminatory. Or indiscriminate. That is, it matters not what type of seed is sown, it's usually going to produce. What we'll do is we'll say, "Well, I'm going to invest in this, I'm going to invest in that, I'm going to sow the seed here and follow after God, and these are the positive things. But when I do this sin over here with this disobedience, that's not going to affect me." But don't you realize that if you sow seeds to disobedience, you're going to get what? You're going to get a harvest of that. If you sow seeds of sin, you're going to get a harvest. It's just a matter of time. Because there's a law of sowing and reaping. It's indiscriminate. If you have seed, it's just what it's going to produce. And so the corn is going to produce corn, and the wheat's going to produce wheat, and the apples are going to produce apples. That's what seeds do. And so if you're going to sow the seed of sin, what do you expect out of that? You expect sin. That's what's going to come out of that. You're going to sow disobedience, you're going to result in disobedience. just depends what type of seed you're going to sow. Do not think that you're unique. Well, and I've heard people tell me this. Well, that might happen to other people, but it won't happen to me. Well, that's a very dangerous statement. You think that you can sow the same kind of seeds that other people sow and not reap the harvest? Not going to happen, my friend. You will reap the harvest. And you may not reap it to the extent that other people might reap it, but it's going to come home. Those chickens are come back to roost because it's the law of sowing and reaping. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall you also what? Reap. So there is a reaping. And so reaping is indiscriminate. And it will happen. And it will happen to you. And it will happen to me. If I sow to the wrong things, then I can expect a poor harvest. And it's just going to be bad. So recognize that to be true. Number three, the seed left to itself will not produce. But the risk of reaping is always present. Let me explain that. We have some seed. When we redid the trees out here and bought grass seed, and we tried to plant the grass out there, and boy, that was just a lot of fun. But you know, I still have some extra seed in the back shed. And that seed has been back there for a year and a half, and that seed doesn't grow grass, does it? I can take you out there. We can open up the door. I could pour you out nice, dry seed. But as long as there is seed, there is the potential for grass. That makes sense? Because the seed is there. Now, as long as it's in that bag, unless the bag gets wet, it's not going to grow. I'll tell on myself. Now, I know this by principle. Just practical experience. Many years ago, when I lived up in Ohio, I had a bag of grass seed in my back of my van. And that bag broke in my van. Well, I didn't bother to clean up the back of my van, and so I had this grass seed in the back of my van for a long time. My wife would say, "You need to clean up that grass seed," and I said, "No, that's not a problem." And so I didn't care about cleaning up the grass seed. Well, not only did my van have grass seed, it also leaked. So you know where this is going. Well, my van leaked, water, the grass seed got wet. You know what I was doing? Look back there one day, I was growing grass seed in the back of my van. Grass coming up in the back of my van. Then I had to clean out my van. Well, the fact is, as long as that seed remains seed, there's always a possibility it can grow. The point of that is, if there's no seed, there'll never be a reaping. Why do you take the risk? There's so many things in life that are evil and wrong, corrupt, and you bring the seeds in. And I'm telling you, as long as there's a seed, you say, "Well, I don't want to plant but once a week, or I only plant once a month." But I'll tell you, every time there's a seed, there's a potential for growth. And you're just taking a risk. So what you need to do is just stay away from it. I mean, the Bible teaches us that we should stay even away from the very appearance of evil. You allow that seed to be present in your life, eventually it's going to germinate. Eventually it's going to grow. Eventually you're going to cater to it. And so you got to be careful about that kind of seed that you introduce into your heart. And it might be through music. It might be through the television. It might be through what you eat and what you drink. It might be your eyesight, the pornography or whatever. You introduce that seed, eventually it's going to grow. As long as that seed is there, there's a potential for growth. So what you need to do is you need to eliminate the wrong seed. Just don't even have it. Don't allow it. And so if you don't allow that seed in your life, then there's no risk of it ever coming out. And so I would encourage you to learn from this law, because he says, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. And if that seed's there, it always has that potential, even if it's inadvertent, like a leaky van. But it'll grow. It'll grow. Number four, even if the harvest is small and seemingly uninfluential, the fact is there's still a product, isn't there? And there's always a potential for greater yields. You say, "Well, that's just not that much. I serve the Lord 98% of the time and love the Lord 98% of the time. The other 2%, that's not that big of a deal." It is a big deal. Do you know why? Because you're sowing the wrong seeds. And that 2% will eventually become 3% and 5% and 10%. I've seen it all my Christian life. I've seen it all my ministry. And you start fading away, and it'll get worse and worse. And before you know it, you're so far gone. You really are. And do you know why it is? It's because that seed will reproduce itself. Isn't that what God has engineered our creation to reproduce itself? And so you take what you find out in the field, and that corn there, that one little seed will produce maybe 3 ears on the stalk, which might have 500 pieces of kernels on each of those ears, so you have 1,500 out of one. And then that falls into the ground, and then that divides out. Sin will do that. Disobedience will do that. You've got to be very careful. And so you take that physical principle and apply it to the spiritual principle. It's just true that it might seem influential. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. Be careful. Be careful. Because sin will always produce. And it will always get bigger. The truth of the matter is, don't start sowing it and you won't have to reap it. That's a simple idea, isn't it? Don't sow it and you don't reap it. Well, we taught our children, don't drink and you'll never become a drunkard. Simple fact. You don't ever touch it, you'll never have to worry about it. You entertain it, you're just a step from it. And I've told people all through my ministry, every drunkard started out with one drink. It's just a danger. Whatever you sow, that's what we find here. Number five, the sower is responsible for the kind and the quantity of the seed sown. I'm obligated, I'm responsible for the kind of seed that I produce in my life. If I sow this seed or that seed or some other seed and the quantity of which I sow it, I'm absolutely accountable for that. You're accountable in your life before God, whether it be negative or positive. And so you sow your seed and you spend 80% of your day reading a scripture and in prayer to God. Well, that's a great thing. You're responsible, accountable for that. If you spend 2 minutes before God every day, you're accountable for that. If you sin or don't sin, whatever it is, whatever that seed might be, we are all accountable. We are responsible. I can't blame my wife and I can't blame my sons. I have to blame me. I'm the one that entertains the sin. I'm the one that casts that thing out. I'm the one that seed that might come back. I'm accountable for that, whether it be positive or negative. And by the way, let me submit unto you in the sixth aspect, the sower may or may not cultivate it. And, if you cultivate it, it's going to be a better development, whether it's positive or negative. If I'd have been better at keeping the weeds out, maybe I had better miniature corn. But I didn't cultivate that well, and I didn't like weeding. My second attempt, I did much better keeping the weeds out. Still didn't get much. So I'm not a farmer. I'm dependent upon Kroger's and everybody else to make the produce for me. But the fact is, if you cultivate, it will be more improved. And the truth is, we spend sometimes cultivating the wrong kind of seed. And so you'll expect a greater harvest, won't you? You know why? Because you're spending more time on that, and you cultivate it, and you guard it, and you protect it. As God moves in your heart, God speaks to you, don't cultivate it. Don't cultivate the sin. Don't cultivate the disobedience. You need to let God say, hey, listen, that's wrong. That's a weed. You need to get that out of there. You need to clean up the act a little bit. And I want to remind you, number seven, that sometimes the seeds lie dormant, possibly even for years. Not all seed produces automatically. Some have different germination periods. And I know what you're thinking, because you think, well, you know what, I've done this for a long time and nothing's ever happened. Dangerous thought. You know why? Seeds produce. They do. And it may not happen this year, but it might happen next. Or in 5. Or in 10. Book of Proverbs warns about a man going to the prostitute, and he says at the end his flesh is consumed. All for the 5 or 10 years while he was catering to that, it was okay, but when he gets that sexually transmitted disease, the corruption that ruins his body after 15, 20, or 30 years, then you'll see that's the seed that comes back. That's what happens. That's the harvest. Don't you understand, my friend? It's a law. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. And lastly, before I draw a brief conclusion, I just want to emphasize this. It is very important to understand that the product reaped will be consistent with the type of seed sown. That's just the way it is.
If you sow corn, you will get corn. Whether you sow a little or a lot, or however you do it, whether you cultivate or not, corn produces corn. Apples produce apples. Dogs produce dogs. Cats produce cats. We reproduce who we are. And the principle is the reproduction will always be consistent with the type of the seed sown. So if you wish to sow spiritual things, then you will be blessed with greater spiritual things. If you want to sow ungodly things, then you can expect more ungodliness to come. It will happen. That's just the principle. And bad news is, you are not exempt from the principle. I am not exempt from the principle. If I sow sin, I can expect I'm going to get a harvest of bad stuff. If I sow things in the Lord, I can expect positive things, blessings from God. So let me offer you this in closing. Let's read the verse again one more time, though. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number one, I want you to notice in closing that God is the one who laid down this principle, and he will not be circumvented. Notice it says, God is not mocked. God made the principle. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. God is not mocked. Number two, we should not think that we are exempt from the law of sowing and reaping. What did he say at the first part of the verse? Be not deceived. So many in our society think they're getting by with it. Be not deceived. God has a principle. God set this principle. And you will not be exempt from it. And yes, you may defy God's laws for a time, but God's laws still exist. And there will be a payday someday. There will. You say, boy, preacher, you're just discouraging today, and you're just kind of down on us today. No, my friend, I just want you to know God's Word. And the principle which God has laid out for me and for you, because it ought to make a difference in our lives. There will be a payday someday. R.G. Lee had that right, didn't he? Number three, look at verse 8. Biblically, in context, there are two general types of seed. Remember, it was a whatsoever. Then he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Two general concepts. Sowing to the life of the flesh or to the Spirit. And you saw the product in each. Two general types of seed. So the message doesn't include just all negatives. Well, you talked about sin and disobedience and all that. But I've talked about positive things too. Whatsoever. It's a whatsoever, right? The last thing is this, verse 9. Do not get discouraged about sowing good seed. And, verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I've been following God, and I've kept away from the things of the world, but you know what? I just don't feel happy in my life, and I don't feel like this has been successful. And be not weary in well-doing. I've witnessed and testified to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've talked to that person until I'm blue in the face, and they're not yet saved. Be not weary in well-doing. I read my Bible, and it just really doesn't seem to have an effect upon me. Be not weary in well-doing. I go to church and I'm faithful to the Lord's house, but it just seems like I don't get anything out of it. Be not weary in well-doing. By the way, it depends how you cultivate that one. You come look for a blessing, you'll have one. You come bored and stiff and not interested and don't pay any attention. What do you expect to get out of it? You're sowing to that kind of stuff and you're reaping that kind of stuff. And you go, boy, it's the preacher's fault. Well, I don't claim to be the most eloquent speaker there ever was, but I can tell you something that you can understand in English. And so I think that's clear enough. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap. You know why that happens?
Because he laid down the principle. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I ask you, what type of seed are you sowing? That's all. Just search your heart. Dear sinner, you have to recognize that you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're away from God, and everything that you sow is rebellious and destructive. You need Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I point you to Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, for those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have to recognize that in our lives, we're sowing every day all kinds of seeds. Prayerfully, we're sowing more positive seed than negative seed. But the principle is going to be true. I don't care how you slice it. I'm not exempt. You're not exempt. Whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. It's going to happen. Let us sow good seed and not be weary. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing your word. And I pray, that, Lord, that you bless your word as it goes out. And as a matter of fact, you promised that it would. You said in Isaiah that my word will go forth and it shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish every purpose whereunto I have sent it. It's that sowing and reaping law. And so I pray that you bless your word to every one of our hearts. We pray for the lost, certainly, that they might know their need of Jesus Christ, that they'd be saved today. And Lord, help us even, whether lost or saved, that the things that we sow in our life are going to reap. But those of us who know you, O God, thank you for the salvation we have in Christ, and help us by your grace to sow continually good seed and to cultivate it and pursue it and long for the produce of fruitfulness and righteousness. Lord, help us to love you more and more. Cause us to sow that in our lives. And we know that that seed will not return void. Just speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 349 is the song. 349.